It's Wednesday again. It is time for Snipes and Stripes on nofilter.net. Here we are again. And there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the National Hockey League. There are teams that are absolutely brutal, and there are teams that are just surprising everybody left, right, and center. But there's no surprise that it's me and Tim Peel right here on Snipes and Stripes. Peelzy, number one, first of all, welcome to another week of Snipes and Stripes. And I had a lot of fun with you this week. We got a chance to play together and have some fun. We had a great dinner on Sunday. Then we had a great golf round on Monday. Wow. How are you, buddy? What's going on?
I'm great, buddy. You know what? Dinner was really good because you picked up the tab. So it made it really, I owed you.
So,
but I did bring a couple bottles of wine. So, but no, it was great hanging out. You know what I loved to our listeners? JR was in St. Louis for a couple of days for an autograph signing and stayed an extra day to play golf with me on Monday. And he said, "Hey, what are you doing on Sunday?" And I said, "Well, Bronson's got to practice right in the middle of the day, so I can't golf. It's at 2:40. And you said, "I want to go." And I'm like, "Buddy, you don't have to go. I'll bring you over. I'll pick you up after. You don't have to go." "No, I want to go." So we show up at the rink. Got to tell this story for the listeners. And we're walking around, and it's a public skate. And I hear these guys go, Is that Jeremy Roenick? That can't be Jeremy Roenick in St. Louis. And I heard them and I go, "Yeah, it is, guys. Do you want to meet him?" And they're like, Yeah. And this guy comes over, he's got a bike helmet on.
Yeah.
It was his first time skating.
Ever.
First time skating.
By the
ever.
Way, his ankles were touching the ice when he was skating.
And he says, this is what's so great about hockey and fans is you're in St. Louis. Diehard Blues fans, these people.
Yeah.
But the respect that they have for you and this guy that's his first time skating, he goes, "My first time ever skating, and I got to meet Jeremy Roenick and get a picture taken with him." That was awesome. It was so good.
It was awesome. It was. And listen, I couldn't have had more fun. Thank you, by the way, for finding skates that did not fit me, but it didn't matter because I just whatever I put on my feet was going to happen.
Well,
you found golf shoes for me. You found golf clubs for me. You found everything that I needed in St. Louis, and I don't think my trip could have gone any smoother, to tell you the truth.
Well, the boys, our team's 12-year-old boys, and they were impressed by JR's shot. Even though you've been off the ice for a few years, you can see why you're going in the Hall of Fame, man. You can still rip it. But I got to tell the listeners, this is what pisses me off about you is I said to Jared, "Hey, I'll get you a set of clubs." We get on the first hole. I'm trying to be a nice guy. I'm like, "Okay, it's a par four, dogleg right a little bit." You don't say anything. Get to the second hole. I go, "Okay, it's a par five, little bit of a dogleg left." You go, "I don't need you to tell me anything except if there's water on any hole. I don't need you to read. I don't need you to read my putts. I don't need you to do anything." So here he is using my buddy's clubs. Never played the course before, and guess what, listeners? He shoots an even par 72, and you could have been 70 or 69 if you had made a couple more putts. God, I'm just grinding. It's like 72. You made it look so easy. You're like, I know you're a good golfer, but you never played the golf. Like, how come you didn't even need to ask where any of the holes were? Like, you just kind of looked at it?
I think just like anything. And one thing that we don't have in this world anymore is common sense, right? We don't have common sense anymore.
No.
So common sense leads me to look at a hole and say, "Okay, I don't have to go there."
Yeah.
"Don't hit the ball there."
Yeah.
Common sense leads me to say, "Okay, don't hit the ball there." So, and common sense also leads me to say, "Okay, if there's no water, I can unleash it and be more aggressive and I don't have to lay the ball up." So common sense, by the way, which is gone from the world, allows you to have an imagination and to be free to hit the ball and free to hit shots that you wouldn't do if you were scared or nervous of something in front of you. So I wish we can apply golf mentality to life mentality and to say, okay, let's just go there. Let's just hit the ball there. Let's just say this. Let's just say this. Let's have a conversation. Let's hit the ball. So, you know, golf is one of those things that is it's a mental game.
Yeah.
It's a mental game. So the worst enemy for a golfer is the actual golfer. It's the brain.
Sure.
So when I just whittle it down, and everybody on the chat line, I can see, understands this mentality. When you take away all the crazy stuff and just whittle it down to the little stuff and say, okay, no problem. What's the one thing that I need to know about? Water. I don't need to know where the trees are. I don't need to know how far it is. I don't know. Just make it easy, simplistic. Wow. Golf needs to be more simplistic. And it's like life. Don't bring all these crazy things into your brain. Don't bring all these crazy things that make you go crazy, that make you think that is really, really hard. Let's dummy it down.
Yeah.
And just play.
You should write a book for golf, Dummies for Golf. It might already be done, but you can do
golf
it.
I'm sure Golf for Dummies is there, but listen, don't make something that is already difficult more difficult.
Yeah.
And golf is one of those things. Politics is another one of those things.
Well, we're only 3 weeks away from an election here in the US, but before we move on.
Anyway, let's just, by the way, thank you for the clubs.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the golf shoes. Thank you for the skates. Thank you for bringing me on the ice with your boys. It was amazing.
They loved it.
Bronson is a beast. He's going to be a great, great player. Bronson, your son, is amazing. Your daughter's amazing. Your wife is amazing. I had a great time. And
you made a lot of people happy at Meadowbrook. JR was signing golf balls for the greenskeepers. We had a guy show up with a Blackhawks jersey, and you autographed it. So you know what? It's great to see how much you're loved in other cities that you didn't play in. And it's not to blow you up, but it really is a testament to A, how hard you played, and B, the type of person you were with the fans, because you always a lot of players don't want to deal with the fans, but you were never like that.
By the way, it's a great point by you, and it's going to be a very I think a poignant spot in my Hall of Fame speech next week or next month, I should say. It's actually almost a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous. I just want to let you know I'm very nervous.
You'll kill it.
It has nothing to do with killing it, Timmy, and I love you for that. PLZ, thank you. There's so much that is in my body, in my heart, in my brain, and I have, they say, 5 minutes to get it out. It's gonna be 10. I'm the last person to go on the 11th in the whole thing. So I'm the last person to go. I find myself sitting quietly going over, just talking and speaking my speech. I meditate every morning, and I find myself in the morning just literally sitting there talking my speech and timing it and feeling it and trying to piece it out. And it's really, really hard because there's so many people that I want to acknowledge, and there's so many aspects that I want to hit. The fans are one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to forget. I don't want to leave any part of how I feel about that out. And, you know, my family is going to be the primary big, you know, booster at the end. But, it's hard, man. I have so many people I want to mention. I have so many aspects I want to say, and I got to try to figure out how to do all this within a 5 to 10 minute span and not get in trouble by TSN or the Hall of Fame committee, you know?
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. And I can only imagine, like you say, you don't want to forget certain people, and you know, you don't want to go on and on and on, but it is important for you to express your feelings and let everybody know that's been even a small part of you getting into the Hall of Fame, how important it is for them to be there for you. And yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So
well, I'm happy you're going to be there.
I can't wait. Let's thank our sponsors, buddy.
Yeah, Whiskey in the Wild, right on top of your screen. I love it. I just had a whole bottle with all my friends here at Celebrity Sweat here in San Diego. We represented the military. We gave to the first responders.
Nice.
Whiskey in the Wild, they loved it. It was awesome. Chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey. Make sure you go to Whiskey in the Wild to get your best chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey you have ever had in your entire lives. Thank you to them. To your awesome protected neck guards. I saw a lot of kids on the ice the other day.
Yeah.
POZ with neck guards. I was very happy seeing that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. Thank you to BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. BetOnline is every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. I think you know your stuff. Get in on the 200,000 mega contest and pick 5 games against the spread. You and I both know that's tough to do. Every week for the chance at weekly prizes and a share of 200,000. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Bet online. The game starts here. Thank you.
Game starts here.
Game
right starts now. Here. And by the way, the game started in Columbus.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, you're emotional about it.
Whew. How could you not get emotional about Johnny Hockey, and you know, a guy who's affected not just one team, but an entire organization and league. What an amazing game.
Seriously. You know, for anybody that didn't see it, and I'm sure most hockey fans did see it, they dropped the puck at center ice and they didn't have a left winger where Johnny normally would be. And they dropped the puck and the centerman, I think it was Sean Monahan, slid it over and Sam Bennett put it where Johnny would have stood. And they let the clock run down 13 seconds, and then they picked it up and dropped it. But what an incredible gesture by the Florida Panthers, by Columbus. I don't know who came up with that idea to do that, JR, but, you know, what a tremendous idea. It was touching, buddy. It was touching. You're crying.
How can you not?
I know.
Like, you know, have you ever seen that in sports?
Just never, never, never seen that before. Maybe it's happened, but I've never seen it before. So,
like, it was, you know, every sport's lost players, and every sport is had tragedies and. Every sport has had like dedications to players. I don't know if one has been more powerful or touched more people, or a dedication has been, whether it's summer with what happened in Calgary with everybody coming to the Saddle Dome, with everybody coming to the arena in Columbus to the opening ceremony, opening face-off. The amount of attention that has gone to celebrating Johnny Gaudreau and even his brother. Mm-hmm. But the effort and the mentality that has come across the hockey world is untouched. I think the appreciation, I think the love and the just the emotion just came to an absolute pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
Watching that opening face off, and if you didn't cry on that, I question if you have a heart.
Well, and you know, the things you hear about Johnny, unfortunately, you hear all these good stories after someone tragically passes away. But you know, it's a funny story where Matthew Tkachuk told his teammates in Florida that Johnny loved Gatorade and Skittles, and that's what he would eat before a game, if you can imagine. And here comes the Florida Panthers off the bus in Columbus, and every one of them had a gives you chills. Every one of them had a Gatorade and a bag of Skittles, and that's tremendous. The love and the support that the NHL community shows in tragic times like this. Guy Goudreau has been on the ice, obviously, a couple times with Tortorella. He has been on the ice. Dean Evanson has had him on the ice in Columbus. And, you know, there's a picture. They obviously did a video tribute, and Sean Monahan is crying, holding Johnny Goudreau's daughter. And, you know, that was Johnny Goudreau was the number one reason that Sean Monahan signed in Columbus, because they were best friends. So, and then he happens to score last night and points to Johnny's banner. So it's, there's a lot of great stories.
You can't write this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't predict this kind of crazy stuff to happen. You know, and yes, you're right with Monahan scoring and all this, you know, everything about it. It was like, this is why hockey is different.
Yeah, it is.
This is why the players in the National Hockey League are different. Their mentalities are different. Mm-hmm. Their care for the game is different. Their respect for other players and other teams and the people that they play against are different. It's different than any sport. It's different than basketball. It's different than football. It's different than baseball.
Yeah, it is.
By a country mile.
Yep.
There is no way in any of those sports that you would get the attention and the love and the admiration and the celebratory mentality that Johnny Gaudreau has gotten this year. No other sport. And this is why hockey is different, because they love the game. They respect the game. They respect each other. Mm-hmm. And they actually do love each other, even though they go out and battle against each other. And they really respect the entire aspect of the game. No other sport signifies love, respect, and honor the way that hockey does. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah, I agree.
So
well said.
Well done. Well done by the National Hockey League. Well done by Florida Panthers. Well done by the Columbus Blue Jackets. And well done by every single fan mm-hmm. that has ever walked an arena to watch a hockey game. And every single person that has gone out to celebrate Johnny Hockey. So I play in the game, I thank you.
Yeah.
I do. And I know you, Tim, who reffed in the game, who was on that platform, who was mm-hmm. on that stage in front of a lot of people. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it all, buddy. It's well said. So I know we'll have other Johnny Hockey. We will have other Johnny Hockey stories the rest of the season, because there's going to be other stories and tributes and things. And you know, it's important to keep Meredith and their family in our thoughts, and their children. And it's just, it's very sad. But listen, we are going to bring on.
Let's bring on somebody really, really cool. I think everybody's going to like this.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to bring on Davey Joseph. And for people who don't know Dave Joseph, Timmy Peel, he's got an interesting little, he's got an interesting situation and a very interesting perspective of the game.
Well,
there he is, Dave Joseph. Welcome to the show.
What's up, fellas?
I guarantee you he's got a better voice than us, JR. He is the he is the PA announcer for the Utah Hockey Club. He used to work with the LA Kings. He did some work for ESPN for the LA Kings, and we really appreciate you
He's a fantastic person, by the way, and I think he's got a lot of fun things to be talking about because his team right now, the Utah Hockey Club.
That's right.
I love it.
Are, if you look at the stats right now, one of the best teams in the league. And who would have thought it? So, Dave, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing? What's happening?
I'm good, fellas. Tim, JR, thanks for having me. This is it's an exciting time for me, and it's an exciting time for Utah Hockey Club. They've got they're off to a great start. Obviously, taking over that team in April and getting the word that they're going to have a National Hockey League team at Delta Center in downtown Salt Lake City. We're now in October, so fast forward. What is that? 5 months? 6 months? I'm not good at math, but
You say fast forward. Fast forward. Let's rewind.
Sure.
Let's rewind. All this crazy stuff happened. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Oh, by the way, Gary Bettman's like, I'm done. Sorry. You guys are done in Phoenix. You guys are getting sold. You're going to Utah. Fast forward. Tell me what's happened with your life and how this all transpired so fast right under everybody's nose.
Yeah, well, can I just say, I mean, I think it's too bad what happened in Arizona, but it's and JR, you played there. I mean,
it's terrible. It's terrible ownership. Absolutely.
But it's long overdue, right? That they find a place where they're wanted and they, you know, the ownership is going to treat
them. Hold on a second. They were wanted in Arizona. They did have a good fan base. They had terrible ownership. The ownership was terrible, and the ownership wasn't able to do a deal with the city and the powers that be. Their fan base is great, but their ownership was awful.
And that's what I mean. They're wanted by an ownership group now that wants to have and put out a good product every single night. And I think that flipped into the players' mentality where they went from this, we don't know what's going on and we're kind of in a state of flux and limbo here, to, wow, look at this great owner who's putting all these resources behind us and is flipping this team in just a matter of months. And their season tickets went through the roof. It exploded right away. The first preseason game there was a packed house and it was just electric. The first preseason game that they played felt like opening night.
Right.
No, I mean, it was fireworks from an hour before faceoff when they were first letting people in the building. And I was standing there in awe, and I was the PA announcer for the Kings at Staples Center for 8 seasons. So I know a little bit about electricity, and JR, you played there too. And you know, that building is
electric.
Totally electric.
Awesome.
Delta Center I thought the roof was going to explode. And this was for a preseason game.
Wow.
And then you fast forward to opening night, you know, last week, 10 days, 9 days ago, 8 days ago. And man, I didn't think the place could contain it. It was just, the fans were ready, the players were ready, the staff was ready, and you're talking, you didn't have a year to prep this. You had a matter of months to put this all together, so kudos to the front office, kudos to the general manager, kudos to the players, kudos to everybody who had a hand in this. They really pulled off a huge feat. They had Shaboozy outside doing a pregame concert.
There was
action in the plaza around Delta Center. You know, the players came in on a blue carpet. It was like they had an NHL team there for 20
okay,
years.
Okay, so you're saying all this, Dave. Now, this is a team that has played for last year in front of 5,000 people in a minor league college facility. You're around the guys. What's you've seen it. What's the attitude? Like, what's the talk around the team in being in Utah, and the excitement of maybe feeling like they're professional athletes for the first time in a long time?
That's exactly it. I think it's almost a sense of relief. It's like we went from not knowing at all to what's happening with ownership to Smith Entertainment Group is just remarkable in what they've done and getting the resources for these players and getting a practice facility up and running. And they're going to do all these renovations to Delta Center, and they're going to turn this whole thing around and make it a hockey town to a team that's never had an NHL franchise before. I mean, you've got the Utah Grizzlies right across town that play at Maverick Center, but it not to not knocking them at all, but it pales in comparison to having an NHL team, Utah Hockey Club, yet to have a nickname. They will next year. I think it's just all a sense of relief, and the guys now can relax and play hockey. They can focus on what they've been doing their entire lives, and that's playing hockey.
Well, you know what, Dave, I've been impressed by, I said it, two things. One, JR and I were big supporters and really rooting on the Arizona Coyotes last year because we think they have a good hockey team. And I think now people are gonna, now that they're playing in an NHL building, people are gonna give them a little more respect than what they have in the last couple of years. So I'm looking forward to that. But tell me about Ryan and Ashley Smith, because I see him at the home opener. I love it. He's got a hoodie on. He's got his hat on backwards, sitting by Gary Bettman, right? He's like, hey, I don't care. I'm sitting by the commission. This is who I am. Oh, and I don't know if he made them, but every Utah Jazz player attended the home opener. It seems like he really is builds, he wants to build a family culture in Utah.
He sure does, and that's the word I'm getting. And I've yet to meet him. I saw him in the hallway outside of the team store when it was buzzing, and the fans just couldn't snap up merchandise quickly enough. And he was there with his backwards hat and his hoodie. And he's listen. I'll say it, he again. I haven't met him, but he seems like your regular typical 40-year-old billionaire. You know what I mean? Like, and he's not afraid to spend money to put a quality product out on the ice. And you've seen that with the
Wow.
Utah Jazz and what he's done there, and you've seen it. As far as I know, he's giving all the resources he can. Everything the Utah Jazz have, he's making available to Utah Hockey Club players, which says everything because they came in without a practice facility and anything they needed. Now they have everything they need, and he's in the process of fast-tracking a new state-of-the-art practice facility and getting renovations done at the arena and everything they need to be pro hockey players. And that's all you want as a pro hockey player, as you guys can attest. But
Yeah.
listen, he's totally backing this team. There are no corners being cut,
No.
as far as
Yeah,
I can
and
tell.
by the way, this is kind of the new, I think the new generation of ownership, right? So you have so many younger billionaires and so many people making more money in the tech industry, Ryan being no different, and his mentality, and I agree with you, Tim. The fact that he was on television with Mark Messier, Steve Levy, and BK Subban, and he had a hat on backwards and a hoodie. He reminded me of Tom Gilardi from Dallas. Tom Gilardi is another beautiful man that shows up in a sweatsuit, and he's watching the Dallas Stars game while he's also watching his junior team up in Canada play on his iPad, right? And if you would have guessed, you could have those two guys walking around an arena, and they would be probably the last 10% of the people that people would pick to be the owner of the team. And I think it's a piece of fresh air. And by the way, Utah should be very happy because they acquired a team that is a competitive team, a team that
Absolutely.
has talent, a team that has a big upside, a team that is excited. And it's really hard to spend the amount of money that it takes to get a ticket in the National Hockey League these days. But when you can go watch a team that competes as hard as the Utah Hockey Club does, you have a young guy like Logan Cooley who is going to be a superstar in this league. When he's obviously he's got to get healthy and be back in the full realm. Keller is playing great hockey. I mean, what are they, 3-1? They
Three and
lost to New
one.
Jersey, and they went into New York Rangers, which arguably probably is probably with to all the, the hockey gurus, maybe one of the top five teams in the league. And they outlasted a shootout, and I don't mean a shootout, but a literally a horse race, and beat the New York Rangers. This team is something to be reckoned with, are they not? They have some serious talent on this team.
They do have some serious talent, serious young talent too. You look at you mentioned, Cooley's going to be an absolute stud. Clayton Keller had the game winner in overtime against the Rangers the other day, which was he just went backhand top shelf, which was fun to watch at the Garden. And then you've got a guy like Dylan Gunther, who
Wow.
just signed a big deal, and he's going to be a big deal after
So
signing
it's
that
funny
big
you said
deal.
that. It's funny you said that. My son said to me in the beginning of the season, my son is a big Utah fan because he's friends with a bunch of the guys on the team, Clayton Keller being, one of them. Watch Dylan Gunther. He's going to be a 30 goal scorer, and he's going to have a huge year. He scored 5 goals now, and I text my son afterwards. I said, "No, you're wrong about Gunther. He's not going to be a 30 goal scorer. He's going to be a 40 goal scorer."
Yeah, Dave, tell us about him, because I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about him. I know he scored the first goal in club history, and I knew that he had signed a contract. What type of player is Dylan?
He's got great hands from what I've seen so far. He had 2 goals opening night, first one in Utah hockey club history, and then he had, I believe he added on the empty netter at the end. But just great hands. He's got good speed, skates really well. Really athletic kid, and he's got, I mean, there's a ton of upside there. I think a lot of people, maybe like you, Tim, don't know who he was. I wasn't aware of his game or much about him when I first, came aboard. And now I've been nothing but impressed. You see him every night. He's puts up numbers every single night. So he's a guy. And then you got a guy like Sean Durzi on defense who used to play for the Kings. And he's an up and comer too. He's a kid who isn't a play to, afraid to play the offensive part of the game, but yet is good on the defensive end. Ian Cole's a stopper who's been in the league for years. You've got good talent on both ends here and some decent goaltending. So
By
I
the way, how do you talk about defense? The fact that they got Sergachev,
Sergachev.
I mean,
this is a massive player to get on your back end for confidence reasons for a team. Yeah, and I was going to say Ian Cole too. Ian Cole is one of those guys that is, he doesn't get enough credit for the way that he plays. He's a very solid, very sturdy defenseman that does the job and does it right. But then you guys have got like Sergachev that can play offense, defense, play in the power play, kill penalties. They did a really good job of bringing in some really quality players to kind of surround some of these young players to gain a lot of confidence. And they're big, they're strong,
Well,
they can go.
and they brought in, my buddy Robert Bortuzzo. He's going to
Tuesday,
be in.
yeah.
He'll be in and out of the lineup, and he knows his role. But they have brought on some great acquisitions, Dave.
John Marino's another one who
Right.
I believe was in Pittsburgh for a while, and
Yes.
he's another guy that's just going to add to that team. I think with the mix that they have, the younger talent and some of these veterans and Sergachev, who's won cups, I mean, you could be looking at a playoff team here essentially.
Yeah, and talk to us about goaltending, because that's one thing that we don't really know too much about them. They have Ingram, and I don't even know how to say the guy's name.
Velmelka?
Vemelka, yeah, Kirill Vemelka.
Velmelka. Thank you for saying it, because I don't want to embarrass myself and spit all over myself by saying it. But tell us a little bit about their goaltending, because it seems to be working. Because again, their goals against average is, with the exception of the Rangers, has been really good.
Yeah, and Ingram played the first couple of games and got the win in the first game at home, and the next game as well, and then lost. Vemelka got the start against their last game that they lost in New Jersey, and I think they're in tonight. They're in Anaheim, so I believe they'll probably go back to Ingram for that game. But good young goaltenders who are going to have a supporting cast in front of them, who aren't going to be left hung out to dry. And I think that's part of the key. If you've got the Sergachevs and you've got the Durzis and you've got the guys in front of you who are going to lock it down, you don't have to worry about facing 40 shots a night or 45, 50 shots a night. And these are guys who can make the stop. So really, I'm not concerned about their goaltending at all.
No, I agree.
You think about this. You think about this, Tim, right? Has there been a tougher start in the National Hockey League than either Chicago, who has been on the road until I think tomorrow. They've been on the, they, but it was an easy trip. They went to Utah, then went to Edmonton and Winnipeg and stuff like that. But Utah starts at home. They fly all the way east. They go to the Islanders. They go to the Rangers. They go to the Devils. Now they come all the way west to play Anaheim. I mean, is there anybody that's had a tougher start in terms of travel and teams that they're playing against? Obviously, maybe not so much Anaheim tonight, but it's the travel that gets there. And still, they're 3-1 right now. It says even more about getting excited for this team.
But you know what, JR and Dave, I think, and you mentioned Clayton Keller, Dave, he grew up just in the suburbs here in St. Louis, kind of
across Chesterfield guy.
Yeah, and great, great young man. And
Chesterfield, we know that town, don't we?
Yes, yes. And he must feel like it's Christmas, because I would say to JR the last couple of years, does this guy even feel like he's playing? He must feel like it's Christmas right now, every day. And to your point about all the travel, JR, I don't think they really care right now. I think they're just riding such.
Dude, of course they don't care. They're a professional hockey team now.
Right?
They're a professional hockey team now. Dave, they cannot be the hockey club. And obviously you said that the name will come later. You're around the mentality. You see what they're saying. Any kind of inkling what the fans or what the players are thinking that their name is going to be? Because Tim and I have a specific name that we actually like. But what are you hearing?
Unofficially from the fans, everyone tells me they love to be called the Yeti.
I heard that. Yeah.
Now, here's the issue, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I did read this, and I'm not saying this from a team perspective. I'm just saying this as something I read. Is there some kind of copyright thing with Yeti, the cooler company?
Okay.
Who cares?
So, who cares? Right, I don't know if you can somehow give away free Yeti coolers at games or something like that, but I think it's an instant
all right,
marketing.
Then, by the way, hit, Yeti right? What, by the way, just go to Yeti Coolers and become a sponsor, have them become a sponsor and give away Yeti Coolers.
100%. That's a no-brainer, right?
I would think that's the simple way to go. But I have no insight on that. I have no
– everybody in our chat line right now, think of a couple different names of different companies that have the same name, and we can go through. Like, you're not going to name a NHL hockey team because of a Yeti Cooler? Like –
Well, I don't think they can. I don't think they can because the name is trademark.
Of course they can. Of course they can. There's all sorts of names that sound the same.
JR, you're not a lawyer. Stay in your lane, okay?
Come on. Seriously, please.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I've heard the names everyone else has heard, right? The Mammoth and all these. I can't even think off the top of my head right now. But yeah, the one that people tell me all the time is they say, oh, that would be great if they were the Yeti, and think of the mascot they could have and think of the logo they could have.
Right,
which would be really
cool. Hold on,
super
let me ask
cool.
you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are the Utah Hockey Club, are they going to call themselves the Yeti and put a cooler on their chest? No, I don't think so. They're going to put a big beast on their chest that they're going to go like, right? They're not going to put a cooler on their chest and represent a Yeti cooler. It's a different story. What a bunch of bullshit that is.
But if it sells tickets, you know, you could do it. And if it sells coolers.
No.
It could be their coolers. Dave, it could be their third jersey.
Yeah, it could be a Yeti holding a Yeti cooler. Then you'd be all set.
It's so dumb. It's
you like, heard it here first.
You have a Yeti cooler and you have a Yeti monster, right?
Yeah.
Those are two different things. There's no copyright there. I don't understand.
JR, I love what Dave said. It could be a Yeti holding a Yeti cooler.
Right?
Talk about
marketing perfect. Genius. Talking That's about right. marketing genius, right?
From this mind, fellas, from this mind. It takes this large head to think of something.
It's got to be the Utah Yeti. I mean, there's no question about it. I agree. But either way, I understand why it's the hockey club. There's a lot of excitement going on around them. You know, I think, I hope they do well, because it's going to show everything that I've been talking about, how a team that is supported by the city, supported by an owner that does the right thing, that gives the team a place to live, a place to practice, gives them contracts, give treats them like professionals are going to play like a professional team. And this is the first time since 2000 that this team has been treated like a professional sports team by the owner. And I don't know how you feel, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this, from someone who just got hired a couple of months ago by Utah Hockey Club, it's been first class for me as well. They've treated me with nothing but respect. It's been from everyone I've dealt with on down, nothing but professionalism. Everyone has been fantastic and great to deal with. And it really, to me, feels like a family there, more so than maybe any other place I've worked. Mm-hmm. And I've only been there a short time, and I only know, you know.
Does it surprise you? Does it surprise you that this city that has been sitting in the middle of Utah, that's a very popular place to go to ski, but it's a smaller city. Is it surprising to you and to the people around that it has accepted a team and has supported a team so well so early? Is it a surprise around where you are?
I don't think so at all. I don't think so. I think they've been waiting for something like this. I think they've supported the Jazz for all these years, and now they have another team to get behind. They don't have a football team. They've got Real Salt Lake, you know, a soccer team. But they're just itching. They were itching for something like this. And I think for this city to get behind them, the fans, and just seeing what the Smiths have done with this organization, it's remarkable, but I'm not shocked by it at all. It seems like a really family atmosphere type event when you go to the game, working with people there, all the camaraderie and getting on. And I'm not saying that to you know, pump up anyone's tires. Right. That's the way it is. That's the way I felt from day one. I felt welcome and, hey, we want you to be here and let's do this. And I'm sure the players feel that way too.
So Dave, they're building. Can you tell me exactly what it, cause I've looked at different numbers. What does it seat exactly?
From what I've heard, it's 16,000, but there are obstructed view seats.
Well, and I was going to bring that up. So JR, you know, you played at the old American Airlines,
America West.
And I refereed there. There was restricted views and seating there. And I saw some pictures online of the same thing in Utah. But you know what? And obviously they're going to build a new building. I think Salt Lake City's getting the Olympics in 2034, right?
Yep, correct.
And so there's going to be, you know, obviously they're going to get a new building. But to me, when I saw that, I'm like, you know what? That's not really a big deal. Because guess what? When I take my kids to the game here in St. Louis, I, for whatever reason, I tend to watch a third of the game on the Jumbotron anyway. So I don't see that as being a big deal, but I had seen different numbers. So I appreciate you telling me that. And the second thing is JR brought up the practice facility. How long do they think it's going to take for something like that?
Yeah, I don't know the time frame they have on that. All I know is I've heard that Ryan Smith has accelerated or trying to accelerate the building of that to try to get it done in advance of the dates that were originally picked out. He wants to have something ready to go for these guys right away. Yeah, I mean, he's not messing around. So he's putting the pedal down to the people doing construction saying, we've got to push this forward. Like, if you've got to work more, you got to work more. We got to get this done for these guys. That's how important it is to him.
I bet you that'll be a nice building.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, he doesn't cut any corners.
No.
He knows how to do it.
Listen, Dave, do us all a favor and continue to do the great job that you're doing, bringing the excitement of what this team is doing on the ice to the airwaves. Bring that excitement to the people listening. You've done a great job for a long time, and I can hear the passion in your voice. I can hear the excitement in your voice, and keep bringing that night in, night out, and because you're going to bring more fans into the game in a new city because of that passion. And I thank you for that, buddy. I'm so happy that you joined us and gave us an inside look of the new professional team there in Utah. And we just hope they continue to play well and hopefully make the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
I agree. Thanks, guys. Thanks for saying that, JR and Tim. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And let's go Utah, Utah Hockey Club. Here we go.
We're going to have you on later on in the season. We do appreciate you jumping on with us.
Sounds great, Dave. Anytime. Yeah.
Thanks, Dave. You're the best.
Jared, that was great. You know what? It's I don't know about you, but I want to go out to Utah this year. I want to catch a game there. I want to go out to ski for a couple days and see a hockey game.
And that's the great thing about there, right? So,
right.
Like, how many people from Arizona are going to take a little trip to Utah to watch a hockey game and go up and ski? It's a
100%.
It's fantastic, right?
100%.
Yeah. And I know Nick is going to. I know Keenan's going to. Even my boy John Duff is going to, you know, probably will go out and ski. I don't know if John skis. He's from Washington. There's not too much snow there, but we have to teach him how to ski.
Hey, listen, did you happen to see – it was actually happened here in St. Louis last night, but I didn't go to the home opener because Bronson had a hockey practice. But did you happen to see Philip Gustafson score the empty net goal last night?
Wasn't that
night?
Great? Wasn't that awesome?
It was great. I don't know.
He got so excited. He knew he was thinking about that as soon as the goaltender came out.
Well,
and that was awesome.
Well, I guess Drew Bannister called a timeout for St. Louis, and obviously the Wild players went over to their bench. And Marc-Andre Fleury, because I don't know who had a bigger smile on their face, Philip Gustafson or Marc-Andre Fleury, because Marc-Andre Fleury, to me, is one of the best guys ever to play in our sport.
Can we just stop there real quick? Okay, just,
yeah.
By the way, yes, great goal by Gustafson. I loved it. It was awesome. The fact what you just said about Marc-Andre Fleury, has there ever been a goaltender that's been more disrespected, more kind of thrown off to the side, that has been more consistent, that has been one of the best teammates of all time, been one of the most humble and one of the most charismatic people, with the smile, with the his love for the game. He never complains. He just does his job. And if there's ever a person that can complain about the way he's been treated in National Hockey League, is Marc-Andre Fleury. And he does nothing. He just continues to be the ultimate professional in what he does, which is why he's one of the most light goaltenders in the history of hockey.
We need to get him on our show because also in the preseason, he dressed up, he put a hat and a wig on and a mustache, and he grabbed a shovel, and he was one of the ice people during the TV timeout.
Yeah, who would ever do something like that?
Like,
who would ever
like,
dress up during warm-ups? Who would ever dress up during warm-ups and do something stupid like that?
You,
I don't know.
You. Did you do that before?
Yeah, I did that with Bobby Clark. I went out.
Oh, with the wig on.
Yeah,
I put the wig on. Wasn't that for Halloween?
It was for Halloween. I put the wig on. I put the Bobby Clark shirt on. But the crazy thing, what I did, which nobody really knows about, is one of the trainers who has been around for years and years and years, like 30 or 40 years. His name is Rock.
Yeah.
Rock. Rock was he's just an amazing man. He actually had the pants, the Cooperalls.
No.
The actual Cooperalls that Bobby Clark wore in his last game. Okay? He had them at his house.
So did you have the Cooperalls on?
So Rock brought the Cooperalls to the rink.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you had the Cooperalls on.
And so I wore a girdle, right?
Sure.
With my protective girdle, then pulled my little overalls up over it.
Yeah.
So when I got dressed, I had my girdle on with all the pads.
Yeah.
And I took Bobby Clark's pants, his actual pants, and tried to pull them up, and I couldn't pull them up past my knees because of the so I had to take my actual girdle off, with all my equipment, all my pads, and I could barely pull Bobby Clark's Cooperalls that had no pads on, by the way. They were just like sweatpants. I could barely pull them up over my ass and my thighs. That's how small Bobby Clark was when he played back in the 70s.
I got tears in my eyes. How did you how did you even think I'm gonna dress up as Bobby Clark tonight for Halloween? Like,
well, of course. I mean, it's Halloween, and who's one of the most
iconic
Flyers of all time is Bobby Clark. And if you go to YouTube and Google, you know, Jeremy Roenick as Bobby Clark, you will see a video of Clarky up in the press box laughing his ass off as
well,
I'm skating
around. I was just gonna say that's the — you dressed up as Bobby Clark with the wig on. You guys got to Google this. It's hilarious. Is funny in itself. But to your point, I've watched that. I've seen that 100 times probably on, you know, sports and so on. His reaction was priceless. He is laughing and laughing. And I'm sure he's thinking, Only JR would do this. Only JR would do this.
And by the way, again, that goes into lead into a lot of the things that, you know, that I did and leading into the Hall of Fame and all the speeches and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of things that only I would do.
Yeah.
You know, I can go, you know, to kissing Mark Recchi on the Jumbotron in Toronto, you know, with the kiss cam, you know, sometimes Peelzy, you just have to have fun and you just have to go along with it. And, you know, we are in a sport, or I was in a sport, and professional athletes are in a sport of entertaining. And unfortunately, sometimes that gets lost in the shuffle when it comes to the amount of money that these guys make, the amount of money that is expected for the teams and the owners and all that in the organizations. It is still an entertainment factor. 100%. People are paying money to come get entertained. And I tried to do that at every corner that I possibly could.
It's a good thing you brought up. You know what? I think it's a good analogy for life too, is all of us probably shouldn't take ourselves too serious. We're really not that important. Have fun and enjoy life. Right, buddy?
Yeah. Again, yes, absolutely. You know, be respectful, be humble. Yep. Have fun, but make sure that you, taking care of your neighbor, man. You got to take care of your neighbor. What the hell is wrong with the Edmonton Oilers?
Whew.
Holy hell.
I don't know.
Keenan, you must be drinking like a crazy person. Keenan on our chat line, our Edmonton Oilers fan, you have to be out of your mind. I mean, they barely won last night.
I know.
And they were literally on the verge of being over. And here's a team. Obviously, we saw what happened to them last year, right, in the mm-hmm. beginning of the season, which led to a coaching change. But for them to come off a Stanley Cup run and start the season like this, I mean, Connor McDavid hasn't scored a goal yet. He had a couple assists last night. But this team is not good. What's going on?
You know what? It'd be easy to say, hey, they're tired. They played until late June, so on and so forth. But guess what? Florida's got off to a good start, and they played the exact same schedule.
So. Not only that, they won.
And they won. And partied a lot more this summer than the Edmonton Oilers. So I don't know. I don't – you know what? I love Stuart Skinner. He seems like just a tremendous young man. He holds himself accountable, but I saw his name mentioned for Team Canada for the Olympics the other day. And I'm like, for real?
Put him in as an American guy. Put him in.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry. And I know it's not all goaltending. It's like you said, McDavid hasn't scored a goal. I don't, you know what? I'm not going to get too worried, buddy.
We're not getting too worried, but really?
The Calgary Flames are 4-0, okay? Trust me. Edmonton will have more points than the Calgary Flames at the end of the season. Right?
I'm afraid to bet you anymore after last year with Boston. I don't know what I want to do right now, but that's saying something right now. Calgary, I think, has something to prove, but I just don't get it, man. I don't get it.
You know, I know you've lost Evander Kane. He's out for the year, or most of the year, but you added Jeff Skinner, who's a very offensive, talented player. I don't get it either. I got to watch them the next couple nights and see what it is, because I've got a lot of faith in Chris Knobloch, their young head coach. He did a tremendous job turning that team around last year. So let's listen, everyone, take a breath. It's week one. Let's revisit this in 30 days. And if they're still struggling, if they're a 500
team. So easy for you to say, right? So easy for you to say. So easy for you to say with a team that was probably one of the early favorite picks in the beginning of the season for most hockey like gurus talking about who's going to win the Stanley Cup. What were the odds? What were the odds for the Edmonton Oilers to win the Stanley Cup this year? Probably in the top three, right?
100%. They were. I looked at the so-called gurus around the hockey world, and a lot of them picked Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup. I don't know. We'll see, buddy.
And again, you know, and Keenan says the same thing. The Avalanche are all these teams that everybody's thinking are being going to be great or going to be really good are atrocious. And you see McKinnon is literally losing his mind.
Losing his mind, getting kicked out of games. And it's not just Colorado. Nashville's 0-3. Colorado's 0-3. I didn't think with the additions of Stamkos, Marchessault.
I said to you early in the beginning that Nashville was going to be a team to be reckoned with.
100%. But
they're a team to be beaten up right now.
It's week one. Take a breath, okay? It's week one. I'm telling you.
You know as well as I do, okay? You know as well as I do. It is hard to win a Stanley Cup, or at least get him there, when you have to battle from behind.
No, it is.
The whole season. You got to battle from behind. Listen, if you go 2-3, 2-4.
Right.
You know, 4-6, okay. But you're down 0-3. You're down 1-4. I don't care what it's like. It's a mentality. Yeah, of course, it's a whole season. I am not panicking. You're better than that to start like that. And to me, that's a mentality problem. If you're going to be like that to start a season, where's your mentality? Where's your leadership? Where's the preparation? You as a team.
I disagree. I think a team like Nashville, for example, Stamkos, Roman Josi, Ryan O'Reilly, they've got great leadership there. So maybe things just didn't go right.
What are they doing? Sleeping at the wheel?
I don't know. But all I know is when their U2 concert got canceled last year at the Sphere, they went 16-0-1.
Okay, so. All right. Well, listen, you know what? They're old enough to realize that it's probably a better idea to be prepared come game one. It's the same way to be prepared when the game starts at 7 o'clock rather than waiting until 7:30 to start. You know, the Chicago Blackhawks in game one against Utah, if they started at 7 o'clock, they win that game. They didn't win. They lost. So, again, the preparation for a team – and these teams, Colorado, Edmonton, Nashville, the teams that we're looking that are going to be, that we thought were going to be good, better wake up and better realize that they aren't everything that all of us people thought they were going to be until they are.
Okay, buddy.
What a great show.
Before we go, quick, we have to give number 8 a shout out. Alexander Ovechkin became last night the 6th player in NHL history to have 700 assists and 700 goals. Tremendous accomplishment. We'll talk more about him next week. He's going to break 99's record in the next year and a half, but he's still trucking along.
I was only 187 goals, 187 goals away from that same feat. That's all. I was only 187 goals away from that feat.
No, it's impressive. So
absolutely impressive.
Yeah.
But he has no goals yet this year. So the question continues, will Alex Ovechkin break Wayne Gretzky's record? I say no.
Yeah, he will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well said. Hey, this is Snipes and Stripes for this Wednesday. Awesome show. Tim Peel, way to go. Dave Joseph, thank you so much for joining. We're going to get excited about watching the Utah Hockey Club. Thanks to Whiskey in the Wild. Thanks for the protected neck guards. Thanks for Bet Online. Thanks for everybody in the chat line for jumping on and watching and showing your true loyalty to us again. Tim Peel, take it away and send us off until next week.
I love you, buddy. Great show. And I'm looking forward to watching some hockey over the next couple of days. And you know what I'm really looking forward to, and you can appreciate this as a father. I'm getting on a flight tomorrow morning to fly to Detroit with my son to watch him play for 3 days in a tournament. So that at the end of the day is what it's all about, brother.
Remember what I told him on the yesterday. Use your voice. Talk, yell. And I'm going to yell from the rafters right now. Okay. This has been NoFilter.net, and this is Snipes and Stripes. We'll see you next week, everybody. Love you.